This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Islamophobia is fear, hatred, and hostility toward Islam and Muslims spread by negative stereotypes, often in the media and recently from politicians. From Fear to Freedom, Confronting Islamophobia takes place at the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center this Wednesday. Joining us to talk about Islamophobia and the upcoming community conversation at the Freedom Center are President of the Board of the Islamic Center of Greater Cincinnati, Shakila Ahmad, National Underground Railroad Freedom Center Executive Vice President and Provost, Dr. Michael Battle, and Professor and Executive Director of the Edward B. Brueggemann Center for Dialogue at Xavier University, Dr. James Buchanan. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Shakila, Michael, and James, thanks for being here this afternoon.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Michael, why is it important to be having this conversation right now?
It's important to have the conversation to counter some of the negative rhetoric that has been perpetrated by, unfortunately, very prominent political leaders that generates an unnecessary and unfounded fear of a whole group of people. We want to have the dialogue to bring civility back into the debate, and at the same time to provide an opportunity for people to learn more about the shared humanity that all of us have in this nation. That's the primary reason we wanted to do this particular session.
Islamophobia is not a new problem, but is it a growing one, James?
Actually, religious fundamentalism and Islamophobia as a result of that is a growing phenomenon worldwide. One of the ways that we talk about it in terms of the literature is that people are moving into more enclave mentalities. They're bunching into groups, and so there's a new tribalism.
So it's like an us versus them kind of thinking?
It's a new tribalism. Yeah, okay. And with this tribalism, there often is a kind of violence that happens. And while we need to be concerned about the national discussion, as we say, all politics are local. We need to be worried about what's happening in our local community, what's happening with our neighbors, because that's the level at which we can actually deal with it. We do need to be concerned about the national and the state level, of course, and also global. But here in Cincinnati is where we can actually address it.
Shakila, what are we seeing in Cincinnati in terms of this?
Well, I think, you know, the problem manifests itself in a number of real ways where you have students that are being harassed and severely bullied at school, where, you know, if you do a poll of young Muslim American kids and teens, you're looking at 80% of the kids have been called abusive names, harassed physically. In addition, you have a limitation in terms of the opportunities that are being offered to young professionals seeking positions across the region. And, you know, there are anecdotal as well as real data to back that up. And then in addition, I mean, you have people that have been physically assaulted, even in this region. Some have been on the media and others go unreported and to the level even where physicians or professionals have had really very, very inappropriate and hate-filled comments that are made to them. So it impacts us in a variety of different ways across the stratosphere in regards to age, gender, and, you know, socioeconomic class.
So it has a widespread effect. It's not just
Absolutely.
That it's affecting Muslims in general. It's affecting the entire community.
It affects the entire community. It affects any group that is subject to be marginalized by any person. And I agree with James that there is tremendous value in focusing on the local. And at the same time, if we don't focus on the development of the national debate, we will end up having a climate that will engender a massive hatred and ostracizing of a group of people. I remember during the civil rights period, while we focused on trying to change laws locally, as long as the national laws were not on our side, the local debate became more entrenched and more difficult to win. If we only had local politicians saying stupid things, that would be one thing. But when we have people trying to become president of the United States of America saying stupid things, that elevates the debate to a level that we have to deal with it nationally, locally, on the statewide level, and globally in order to stop this stupidity and to engage in a civilized, civil, constructive conversation.
And, you know, in the discussion, because of what's going on at the national level, it becomes legitimate among the young people. All of a sudden, mm-hmm. there's a legitimation structure that's out there. We need to nip that. We need to stop that. We need to have our young people from different faith traditions and different cultures being raised together, interacting with each other, putting a human face on this other, which becomes this big national or international other that then breeds a culture of fear. This tears at the very heart of our community. If we begin to tribalize our community, we'll have divisions all over the place. And God knows we have enough of them in Cincinnati already. This is one that we can't allow to move forward.
And if you look at it, I mean, in the current state of affairs where, we have legitimate fear of terrorism, we have legitimate fear of violence against civilians or, hate crimes and such, is that if we begin to tolerate and find acceptance in a growing number of the community that says this is okay behavior, you're creating exactly the atmosphere that, you don't want, where you need to be able to come together in order to solve these problems that affect all of us. You're creating an environment where you're isolating and ostracizing a very significant part of the community that can be an asset in order to improve the quality of life and safety and well-being for everyone.
Shaquila, is it something where this anti-Muslim attitude is more intense right now because of what people have seen going on? You were talking about legitimate concerns about terrorism. What we've seen going on in Paris and Brussels and San Bernardino, have they influenced this?
Most certainly. I think any time when there is an attack, there is a rise of fear, rise of anxiety, or a rise of wanting to circle the wagons, have a tribal kind of an attitude. But unfortunately, that is exactly the time where you need to bring people together in order to be able to understand how it is that we can combat those issues collectively. And then it is compounded by the rhetoric that Dr. Battle was talking about, is that, instead of creating an environment that helps us to solve problems, what we're doing is creating more problems by the hate rhetoric.
The threat that we face is a threat to the American democratic system, where we are a multifaceted, multidimensional, multi-ethnic, diverse nation. We are made better and stronger because of our diversity. We're not made weaker because of our diversity. And so what America has attempted to do, at least in the letter of the American law, has attempted to do is to lift up the positiveness of what makes us a strong nation that is an example to the rest of the world. And that example is found in our diversity. If we were ever to allow anybody to eliminate a religious group from engaging fully in the American politic, we will be sliding down a slippery slope that we will never be able to stop. So let's stop it before it begins to slide. I think that's what we have to do.
Michael, is Islamophobia a threat to freedom of religion, you think?
Islamophobia is a threat to freedom of religion, freedom of expression, freedom of engagement. It's a threat to democracy. It's a threat to the American idea. It is a threat to the principles on which this nation has been founded. It is a threat to civility. It is a threat to reason. It is a threat to common sense. It is a threat to logic. It makes no sense.
And the question is, what kind of community do we want to live in? Are we going to tolerate a community that does divide up, that ostracizes people. We did a program in the fall on the 15th year of the anniversary of the riots that went on here in Cincinnati. That is another occasion of saying, what kind of community do we want to live in? Are we going to allow for these kinds of divisions to rent the fabric of this community, to tear us apart? Or are we going to come together around our neighbors, whether they be our African-American neighbors or our Muslim neighbors or our Hispanic neighbors, and bond together to say, this national discussion, this global discussion that is going on, we here in Cincinnati are not going to participate. We're going to do something else. Events like we're going to put together, have on Wednesday night, is a chance for the community to come together and have a critical, thoughtful, caring conversation about the issues that really do have to do with this question of what kind of community do we want to live in.
Tell me about the format that the event's going to take.
I'll defer to Shaquilla.
Well, I think, you know, it's a very powerful format, and the Freedom Center is the ideal location for this conversation with Dr. Buchanan facilitating it, is that we will have a panel discussion of diverse Muslim Americans that show that, you know, it's not one blanket face or individual, you know, people that have been here for centuries and to recent immigrants. And then that conversation will delve into all the different aspects of both Islamophobia and questions that people have. People have real legitimate questions, and they should have the opportunity to ask that. And then from there, what we're going to do is break up into small group discussions with multifaceted Muslim, Christian, Jewish, Hindu, various facilitators in small group conversation around the questions, so everyone has an opportunity to have their voice heard and to really look at answering questions as well as how to move forward. And then we'll come reconvened before the end of the conversation, and then the various organizations that are partnering with us have different vehicles for allowing us to not only continue the dialogue, but the work that we need to collectively do. So,
and that's a good point, because how do you keep this going after you get the conversation started with this event?
Absolutely. And so we have partners, whether it's the Muslim Jewish Christian Dialogue Group, whether it's the Brueggemann Center, whether it's the Freedom Center, the Islamic Center, or the YWCA, are just some of the partners that will be helping to facilitate the conversation and then continue the work.
And the hope is that in the fall we will have a follow-up session at the Islamic Center. So we'll come to the Freedom Center simply to start a process, but we will follow up in the fall with a discussion at the Islamic Center, sort of to gauge where we have come developmentally since the initial discussion. I think it's going to be really significant that the small group leaders are going to be Jews, Christians, and Muslims. It's not just going to be Islamic people leading people into discussion, but the trialogue group that meets in Cincinnati, which is intentionally Jewish, Christian, and Muslim, and that group has consented to allow members of it to serve as small group leaders. And then it gives us a great opportunity at the Freedom Center to do something collectively with James at the Buergerman Center. One of my first conversations when I got to Cincinnati was how we could do something collaboratively. So this allows us to collaborate on multiple levels, and I'm exceedingly pleased that James is going to lead the debate and dialogue, and that Shaquilla and the whole community is coming together.
I think all of us, when San Bernardino happened, and with Paris, and now more recently Brussels and Lahore, because we often think of it's the Muslims against the West, but it's Muslim on Muslim violence that is so prevalent, and we need to take all of that into account as well. But my first thing was to write Shaquilla and say, we need to do something to say, this is not us.
Right.
This is not us. This may be happening, but this is not what's going on here. And I particularly worry about the young people. Where are they going? Are we setting things in motion that are putting them on tracks that are dividing them in this community rather than bringing them together in this community? And that's part of the process, why it's important for Xavier to be involved in this. We want our students to be a beacon for the future. about dialogue and interfaith dialogue and interfaith exchange and collaboration, not people who are involved in the divisive nature that we see in the discourse that's going on nationally.
And I just want to share very briefly is that to the point that, you know, the impact is not just on us. Is I happened to be in Lahore when the attack occurred, within 2 miles of the attack, and it's a place where my extended family takes their young child for. So the people that have died through terrorism attacks are majority Muslims. So, you know, if we isolate Muslims, you can't solve the problem. You have to build this understanding, you have to build the conversation, and you have to understand that it impacts people across religious lines, and it's, you know, it's a problem that we all collectively are concerned about.
And it makes a drastic error to assume that just because someone does an act and claim that they're doing it in the name of Islam, that that person in fact represents Islam. I draw the analogy with the Ku Klux Klan that did its activity in the name of the Christian faith while it was ostracizing a whole mass of Christians called Catholics because the Klan didn't like Catholics, it didn't like Jews, it didn't like blacks, it didn't like anybody, but they did it in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, can you imagine if someone were to assume that the Klan represented Christianity?
And while I think it's fair to, as I think Shakila pointed out, people have real fears. So we also want to provide a forum for people to express those real fears. But then the question is, how do we address them as a community? Don't just let the fears bubble up. Don't just let them fester until they really explode in our community and become a problem here. Let's really deal with them. And that's the ongoing process. And I think all three of us and all three of our institutions are totally committed to this.
Yes. James, Michael was pointing out how the political climate is contributing to this to some extent right now. What do you think about the role of the media in fostering that? How much have they helped? How much have they hurt in this particular case?
Well, I mean, I think shows like this help. I think a lot of the shows, the cable shows, they sensationalize what they do. The old expression, if it bleeds, it leads, really plays itself out in the media. So rather than doing a deep dive into the substantive issues that are really at stake here, they simply do the headlines. They simply flash across the controversial statement. What we need is substantive discussion. I agree with Michael here. Democracy is at risk here. This country is at risk here. To allow these conversations to flourish at the level at which they're flourishing without really using them as profound moments of reflection upon what we're becoming as a nation to allow these kinds of discussions to continue.
I agree 100%. You know, I often think what must have been going on in the minds of Germans right after World War I and when Hitler began to spout off really ridiculous comments and how he was left unchallenged. And before long, he was democratically elected as Chancellor of Germany. He was not put into office by some mandate that came outside of the context of an election. He was elected principally because of his rhetoric. Can you imagine for one horrible, horrible moment if we were to allow the kind of incendiary comments to sweep a person into national office of the United States, saying the same kind of things that Hitler said about Jews? If they come for Muslims and we don't stand up, then they come for Jews and no one stands up, and they come for Catholics and no one stands up. When they come for us, there will be no one to stand up on our behalf.
Shakila, again, would you tell us about the conference again, the times and the location?
National Underground Railroad Freedom Center, Wednesday the 13th, 7 p.m. 7 to 9 is the program. And panel discussion, question answer, and small group discussion and across faith lines, across communities.
And you can find a link to more information about the conference at WVXU.org. And thanks, everybody, for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
President of the Board of the Islamic Center of Greater Cincinnati, Shaquila Ahmad, National Underground Railroad Freedom Center Executive Vice President and Provost, Dr. Michael Battle, and Professor and Executive Director of the Edward B. Brueggemann Center for Dialogue at Xavier University, Dr. James Buchanan.